as a church, we have made some decisions that we will pursue God no matter what. For most of you who've been around, that we will not compromise, that we will go for everything that God has got for us, because we want to see our community transformed. We want to see our families transformed. We want to take it out further to see our nation transformed and the world, but we're going to start with what God's given us right here. So we've made decisions to be radical and uncompromising, and that's not an easy place to be. It's quite tricky, as most of you knows. But it's amazing the things that God's talked to us about, and He's called us to prepare the house for glory. And that's us corporately as a house, and that's me as a house. So none of us get away with anything, because God wants all of us. He wants to pour His Spirit down in such dimension that people are going to see us and they're going to fall on their places, because His glory is just going to radiate from us. That's my desire. I'm sure it's your desire, but probably most of us have got a bit of work to do yet before that happens. But that's what we've made a commitment to do, to say, God, come. We know that God's fire is here. We felt the fire, but we haven't actually felt anything yet. And as well as knowing amazing things that God has spoken to us, at the beginning of the year, God gave us some prophetic words, and I'm not going to read them all out, but God's been talking to me a lot about the prophetic words that He gave, so I'm just going to read little snapshots to you, and then I'm going to share what God's been showing me. Brace yourselves. Okay. It is time to pray that the lid comes off. Oops. And to call forth my angels who are waiting to start gathering and removing stumbling blocks, both within and without. Holiness fire is coming. The highway of holiness has been prepared. It's time to walk in the river of fire. You have walked over it and felt its heat, but now it is time to be baptized in fire. The heat will turn idols back into the dust they came from, to be under your feet, not in your hearts. Call forth the gathering angels. The lids are coming off the sewers. The secret and hidden things of the heart are about to be exposed. Now's the time we kind of all want to run away, isn't it? All I ask is for the willingness to submit to the fire that will refine, purify, and prepare you for true holiness. I am about to restore your souls like you have never known, and lead you on paths of righteousness like you have never known. Amazing? Tricky? But God is good. If you choose to surrender and submit to this process, you will experience growth and be able to operate in the highways of holiness, manifesting the truth of heaven on earth. No longer are copies of heaven enough. I will reveal true, genuine, heavenly manifestations on earth through your lives. Nothing, nothing, nothing can be the same as it has been. The light of men will be the light of the sun. And lastly, behold, for those who embrace this, it will be a year of change like no other. For those who resist this, their false coverings will be removed and they will be exposed. I'll leave it there. God is on the move. He wants us. He wants all of us. We sing songs about laying everything down and surrendering to God. And it's, you know, He's taken us at His word. And that since the beginning of the year, I think for a lot of people, the lids have come off the sewers. But you know what? If they've come off your sewer, you're in a good place, because you're directly where God wants you to be right now. If you are struggling with issues in your life, then just come and pray and let God do what He wants to do. God does not want to punish you. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. And He wants to set you free. And that's what we're here about in this church, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted. God is in the business of restoring us. But we need to surrender to let Him do that. And sometimes that's a little bit of a tricky place to be, isn't it? But for us, we have said we want heaven manifested on earth, so that people see the true character of God. So if you're around for this ride, it could be bumpy, but it's going to be amazing for what God's plans and purposes are. What does it mean that the lids are coming off the sewers? It means those things in our lives that aren't quite right are going to come to the surface. And we can try and push them back down again, and then come back to the surface. Now is the time to let God get deep on the inside of us. Who can tell me some things that might be in those sewers? Bitterness, rejection, fear, pride, control, independence. Fear of rejection. Those are the things that we put a lid on to enable us to cope with life. And God is saying, I don't want you struggling. I don't want you limping along. I want you whole. So the lids are coming off so that he can come in and refine us. The blood of Jesus breaks every chain. There is nothing that any of us have got on the inside of us that God cannot deal with. He's desperate to. It breaks his heart to see us limping along, struggling with stuff that we don't need to be carrying. So he wants us to just allow him to take the lids off and then to go with the process. You are safe if you cooperate with God. If you let God do what he needs to do with you, it might be tricky, but you are safe because you are in the arms of Jesus. If you fight and if you struggle, you're not. Because God is doing this. He wants our lives to be a sweet smelling fragrance that goes up to him that people will look at. And now is the time. I'd encourage you to cooperate. It's not always easy. But there you go. God wants first place. God wants to be the centre of everything. You know, we sing about lifting him high. There's a cost. It costs us everything. But then we gain everything. Thank God. Now, I've recently been praying about this word a lot. And I'm going to put it in the correct order because I don't want anyone to think that I'm getting at anyone today because God has been at work and doing stuff, okay? But when this word came, God spoke to me really clearly about deception, being he needed to deal with deception. And deception comes in many forms. Deception can be that we try and hide stuff. Deception can be we're deceived because we can't see the truth. It can come in many forms, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But since the beginning of the year, stuff has come to the surface all over the place. So it's quite cool, because it means what God showed me was right. So I'm not doing this because deception has come to the surface. God said it, and now it's being exposed, okay? So if any of you are sitting there thinking, she's getting at me, she's going to go at me, she's going to look at me in a bit. I'm not. That's God convicting you. Nothing to do with me. The second thing I want to say is, condemnation comes from the enemy. Condemnation is from Satan and it leads to death. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and it brings life. So if God talks to you about anything this morning, and if he talks to me as well, he can talk to me a lot, which I'll tell you. But if he talks to you, if you feel pricked in your conscience or God shows you anything today, it is not for condemnation. And I'm just going to put that right out there now. If you feel condemned, it's from the enemy and you need to snap out of it because a conviction is from the Holy Spirit to bring life. Is that cool? It's good. That's the difference. God is saying it's time to be ruthless and radical with ourselves. We need to get really, really, really real. And lots of us think we've got real and we're like, uh-oh, there's more. God wants more. If we're honest, we probably all have areas of our lives that we'd rather no one else knew about. Maybe attitudes, thoughts, patterns, behaviour, maybe things that we've done, maybe things that we're still doing. There may be some, if we're really honest, that we think, I hope no one ever finds out about that one. That's what we need to deal with. Because those are the other things that are hidden. And when things are hidden, they're in the dark. And they bring shame. God wants to bring things in the light so that he can deal with them. So the power of them is broken. If something is in the dark in your life, it has got you. God wants to expose it, to deal with it, to set you free, to bring you wholeness, to bring you healing, and to restore you. When we think about what God's going to be doing, what God is doing in other places in the world, and what we know God has spoken to us about, he needs to trust us. He needs to know that if he pours his glory out in this place, he can trust us with it. For most of us who've been Christians a long time, we've seen anointing abused. We've seen people go off in error. We've seen pride kick in. God's not going to do that anymore. If we want to be in the plans and purposes of God, if I want to fulfill my destiny, then I need to let God do what he needs to do right now and cooperate with him, and then he'll trust me. So when he pours out his glory, I'm going to get it to give away. When he pours out the anointing, I'm going to get it to give away. When the finance comes in, I'm going to get it to give away. Okay? And that's what this is all about. It's about cleaning us up so that he can trust us with what's to come, because I don't think we can even imagine actually what's to come. It's going to be so incredible. There are gathering angels that we know, that we've seen them. They're coming to collect our stumbling blocks. Those things that are issues for us, God wants to work with us. It's not about me trying hard to change myself, because then who's doing it? Me. It's about me surrendering and saying, God, come, change me. You do it, God. I submit to your process. You come. You do what you need to do with me on the inside. And he's told us that there are angels. They're ready to cooperate and meet with us at that place. Now, I've got a little story, as I usually do. Usually when God's preparing something for me, and this is it's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but actually this is how it works, okay? Deception. I like to think that I'm actually not a deceptive sort of person. I hate lying. I don't like lying. I'm really quite out there, but my mum's down the road. About 2 weeks ago, I had a bit of a situation, and it was about toothbrush, which is bonkers in itself, really, isn't it? Anyway, I bought my daughter and myself a new toothbrush. Gave her the toothbrush. I had the other toothbrush. A couple of days later, I thought, I can't remember which is mine. Is mine the blue one or is it the green one? I can't remember. Did I use yesterday? I've got no idea. So I thought, I think mine's the blue one. So I used the blue toothbrush. And I thought, oh flip, actually I don't think mine is blue, I think mine's green. She'll have a hissy fit if she thinks I've used her toothbrush. I won't tell her. That's alright, I won't tell her. And then I was like, oh, I need to tell her. That's awful. I wouldn't like it if somebody used my toothbrush. But I can't tell her. She'll scream and shout and call me, have a go at me. I'm not going to do it. So I just said to her casually, what colour is your toothbrush? She said, blue, why? Have you used my toothbrush? That's what I said. No. I'm like, what have I just done? She said, well, haven't you used my toothbrush? No. I just couldn't remember quite what was mine, but it's okay, you've told me now, I know mine's green, that's fine. She said, you've used my toothbrush, haven't you? I said, no, I haven't. So, that was as it stands. So I walked away and I was like, can you imagine? Preparing deception. What have I done? How easy was that to do? It's like, that's okay, I'll just repent. So I went away, prayed. It's like, Lord, I am so sorry that, you know, that's awful. I repent, I renounce that. Forgive me, da 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 da. I receive your cleansing, done. Didn't go away. And I'm like, repeat to you, Satan, I've repented, I've renounced this, I've walked away, I received the cleansing, it's done. And God said, it's not done, it's not finished, you've deceived her. You need to go and sort it out. I was like, no, I've done it now. The Bible says, if I come to you, you're faithful and just, you forgive me my sins and you cleanse me from all unrighteousness, it's done. Anyway, this argument went on all day. I couldn't get away from it, couldn't escape it. I gave her a new toothbrush. I went in and I said, I know you think I've used your toothbrush and have a new one just in case I used yours. She's like, you used mine, didn't you? No, this is just in case. Can you believe how ridiculous this gets? So, anyway, went back to God. Oh, God, I've done it again. Did all the stuff. God said, you need to sort this out properly. If you don't, you've opened the door for deception and it won't end here. It's like, but I've said to you that I'm sorry, I've sorted it out with you. And it's like, it's not done. It's not done, it's in the dark. So, anyway, went to bed that night, still arguing with God. And eventually came to the place and it's like, you're right, I need to tell her, I'll talk to her tomorrow. And immediately, what came? Peace. Okay? Peace came. The next day, I couldn't get her on her own. Could not get her on her own. Anyway, it's in the evening, eventually, that I said, can you come in a minute? I need to see what we've done. I said, it's not actually you, you've done anything. She said, I know. So, what do you want? I'm like, I need to ask you to forgive me. She said, what have you done then? I said, the toothbrush. She said, I knew it. You used my toothbrush, didn't you? I said, I did, and I am so sorry. The reason I didn't want to tell her was because I thought she's going to go crazy, she's going to call me a hypocrite, she's going to go off big time at me. And she just burst out laughing. She said, you're so stupid. And it was job done. Okay? Now, really stupid illustration, But massive lesson underneath that, how it creeps in, how easy it is to let deception creep in. And
if I didn't deal with it, it would have got me. That's how easy it is, you know. Things hidden, I was ashamed, I was guilty. Even though I'd asked God to forgive me, the enemy had an access point because it was in the dark.
And God is saying it's time to bring things into the light. God is a God of love. He did forgive me. He did cleanse me. He did do all those things. But the enemy was going, meh, meh, meh. And he had a right to do that because I'd messed up and I hadn't sorted it out. And I just want to say, there are times when we go to God and we say, God, I'm really sorry, I repent, blah, 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 and it's done. I'm not saying every time you do something, you've got to go and tell someone. I'm not saying that. But you know yourself, at times, it's not enough. We need to confess. We need to bring something into the light. And I believe that's the time that we're in now, that we need to bring things into the light. It wasn't about God punishing me. It wasn't even about me telling Bex. It was about the effect and the access point that I would give to the enemy if I didn't do it properly. What is deception? Well, I looked it up. Deception. Intentional misleading of the truth. Omission of all the facts. Concealing the truth. Lying to cover up. A half-truth. Not saying anything. A white lie. Is there such a thing as a white lie? No. What's it called? Deception. It brings chains. Deception brings chains. It brings bondage. It keeps us in the dark. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. It's about being in the light. If we're walking in the light, there can be no darkness. There's no room for darkness. God wants us to be people of light. We sang about it this morning. He wants us to walk in the light. There is no room for darkness. The enemy comes to what? Rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring life in abundance. There is freedom in the light. No matter what it is, if you bring it into the light, it can be dealt with. I remember not long ago I was here and someone said, can I talk to you? I need to tell you something that I've never told anyone before. And I felt it was a real privilege, and they did, and we prayed, and it was broken because it had been brought into the light. There were still things that then needed to be worked through, but the most important thing is to bring something into the light. The power of it is broken and you can move forward. You keep it in the dark and it's got you. We often don't intend to deceive. I didn't intend to deceive Bex. I didn't mean to lie to her. It just slipped out, which is a stupid thing to say, but it did. And then I was faced with a choice and I blew it. But it's okay, because I'm sorted with it now. But we can't see a way forward. We get ourselves into a situation and the chains get worse because we try and cover it up and we try and hide it. And what starts off as something very, very small and simple, we allow the enemy to deceive us, to think we can't deal with it, it's too big, what will people say, da 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 da, we all know how that one goes, and it grows out of all proportion. We can be deceiving people, but the enemy can deceive us too. There is nothing that we cannot sort out in God. There may be consequences that we need to deal with, but hey, let's deal with them and walk in freedom and walk in liberty and come through to be who God's called us to be. If there is something, I'll read this verse a minute. 2 Corinthians 4:2. This verse I think is an amazing verse. And it talks about we have renounced the things hidden through shame. Shame makes us hide things. Shame keeps us in the dark. We need to renounce the things hidden through shame so that we can walk free. The NIV says, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. The message says, since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. God wants reality. If you put up a mask, what are you doing? You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving others. God sees it anyway. He sees the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. He sees everything. And he longs for us to come to him, to bring it in the open, to confess it, so that we can move forward. There is something in your life you have done or are doing, no one knows about, that you would try and cover up, or have tried to cover up, you've given the enemy a foothold for deception. That might sound really harsh, but that's the truth. Now's the time to think, flip the Nora, I don't want to be in that place anymore, you want to move forward. If you don't deal with it, it will grow. It will get bigger, the change will get bigger, the darkness will get darker, and do you know, you'll find yourself in prison, and do you know what you'll end up doing? You'll walk away from church, you'll walk away from God, because you won't be able to cope with how you feel when you come in the presence of God. Because when we're here, and the glory comes, and the fire of God comes, and that holiness presence of God comes, it's so that we can be drawn to Him and deal with those things in our life. If you're not prepared to deal with something, you're not going to put yourself in that. It's torture, isn't it? And you'll walk through the door, and that's what the enemy wants. If he can isolate you, if he can separate you, if he can pick you off, he's laughing. We need to say no, and we need to come together. We've made a commitment as a family, as a church family here, that we can work through anything together. There is nothing that we cannot work through together with God, with the Holy Spirit, with each other. It might be tricky, but hey, what's tricky? And you've got the victory at the end of it anyway. But if we don't do that, what happens? We excuse it. We lie about it. Our conscience becomes seared. You know, our conscience is really, really important. God gives us our conscience so that we can walk in holiness and righteousness, so that if we do something wrong, what pricks? Your conscience, and you want to get it sorted out. If we do something that we know is wrong and we don't get it sorted out, do you know what happens? Next time you do it, you won't feel so bad. Your conscience will get dull. It'll become blurred. Where you would have been like really black and white, you get grey, you get fuzzy, and it's like, well, I'm not too sure about that, that's okay. And what's happened is your conscience has got seared, and we need our conscience sharp. We need to be right on the ball. That's where we're praying a lot recently, and we've got, we talk about reverence, and we talk about fear of the Lord. That's where we want to be. I pray now, and I'm, which is why this was so stupid, I don't want to bring God pain. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt God. So when I pray, it's like, I want my life to be reverent to you. I want that fear of the Lord to stop me sinning, so my conscience is sharp, so that if I do something, phew, right then and there, I can get it sorted out. If we don't do that, our conscience becomes, it's a lot less easy to hear when it's like, oi, stop, sort it out. It becomes more difficult for us. God's word needs to be our standard on everything. There's nothing that we can say, oh, God says this is okay. If it's not in the word, it's not. But what happens once our conscience gets seared, we try and muddy everything. And we very easily can go off at a tangent, and we can go off in error, and we can use the Bible as wishful thinking, and it isn't going to work. God's not going to have it. Many years ago, I lived a life of deception. I was a deceiver with a capital D. So I know how it works. I was a hypocrite with a capital H and a Y and a P, everything. But I didn't start out where I ended, okay? And that's the tactic of the enemy. You slide into this stuff really easily, and we need to be on it. We need to be on the ball. I started dwelling on thoughts I knew to be wrong. You know about temptation? Temptation is the point of entry of a thought that comes into our mind. At that point in time, it is not a sin. Thoughts come, they enter our heads. What's our responsibility to do? Weigh them up. If it's God, we need to take capture it, throw it away. If it's of God, we need to run with it. Okay? We all get those things all the time. I didn't. I mulled things over, I meditated on them, I chewed them. Complete and utter sin. And it wasn't long before I was acting on what I was dwelling on in my mind, and I was getting further and further and further into a life of deception. I ended up living a complete double life, but I didn't start there. I started just considering stuff that was not of God, and ended up in a massive, massive mess. I knew truth, I was brought up in a Christian family, but the minute I considered and contemplated what wasn't of God, I was off down that track. Now, fortunately, here I am. God didn't give up on me. He doesn't give up on any of us. He loves us so much. He is faithful. There's nothing that you could do that would stop God loving you. But a person that will suffer is you. It's a slippery slope deception. Now, there's a massive area that I'm going to talk about, not in great detail, that the church at large, there's a lot of deception about, and it's sexual immorality. And it's something that, I don't know, it's just become kind of accepted now, and I looked up again, well, what is sexual immorality? Sexual sin. Any sex outside of marriage, lust, adultery, pornography, to name but a few. I'm not going to dwell on these things, other than to say it's an area that people get deceived by. I don't know how many times over the years people have said to me, times have changed. Things are different now. You can't expect people to live by the rules that God said all that time ago. God does not change. Truth does not change. There are a few verses. I may talk about this a little bit more next week, because I'm going to talk about familiar spirits and maybe soul ties next week. Not in light. Ephesians 2:5 says, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Did I just make that up, or did I just read that in the Word of God? In the Word of God, okay? It's a subject which has become blurred and it has become grey, and the enemy is loving it. Let me read this. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. What does flee mean? Run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Would you say that's flee?
Yes.
Flee from sexual immorality. All other sin a person commits are outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. This is what God is saying. I'm going to read this to you. Just so you know that I'm not being mean. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God, given and God moulded, love for becoming one with another. Well, didn't you realise that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual side part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. Now, we can't argue with what God says there. Our culture, our value system, our world system says completely the opposite of that. But if we want to go on and pursue what God's got for us, we have to take all of it. And God wants us to be pure and righteous and holy. And for some of us, the reason that we embark in relationships is because we've got needs on the inside of us that are not met. We might need acceptance. We might just long to belong somewhere. We want the feelings of being loved and wanted. But do you know what? Unless God fills that deep place in you, you're not going to find what you're looking for anyway. It messes people up. How many people become broken-hearted and disillusioned? It's just, let's just do it God's way. God's not anti-sex. It's just, he has an order for it, which is within marriage. And it's a massive area for people, Christians, because deep down, it usually brings shame. It brings guilt. It brings condemnation, because you can't get away from what the Word says. As I say, over the years, no one expects people to live like that anymore. You're just so old-fashioned. Your church is just stupid, blah, 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 blah. Probably heard it all, but you know, we care about you too much not to tell you the truth. And the truth is, when we have sex with people, it's their soul ties that get formed. It's more than just an act. There are things that go on at that deep spiritual level underneath it, which can cause damage. And God doesn't want that for us. So, I'll probably leave that as one, as much left for this week. I may go on a little bit next week to talk about familiar spirits and soul ties and how they affect us, because it puts us in bondage. It's bigger than what it just seems on the surface. God wants us. It doesn't mean that you're going to throw you out. It doesn't mean any of those things. But as a church, if we're going to be radical and we're going to be holy and we're going to be set apart for God and we're going to go forward, there are things that we need to address in our own lives and in the church. For instance, if there's unforgiveness going on in the church, we need to address that, because that's going to block the blessings of God. Sexual sin, it says in another verse, it affects the whole body, so we need to address it. Because we cannot say we are uncompromising and radical and allow things to go on that God is not happy with. And that's for all of us. You know, that's none of us escape any of those things. And I said that one, well, because God told me to, but also because I know it's an area that the enemy picks people off with. And he robs you. Because unconfessed sin is a barrier that blocks the blessing of God. Nothing will stop God loving you or me. Nothing. But there are things that will block the blessings, that will block my destiny, that will block me coming into everything that God's got for me. And sometimes we can become deceived. And God's saying, wake up, walk in the light. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not about anyone feeling beaten up. Actually, God wants to cleanse us and set us free. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. Isn't that amazing? But what does that imply? Sometimes we need to bring things into the light, because it says confess to one another.
Which is what I needed to do with the toothbrush.
Bring it into the light. When the light comes, the darkness cannot stay. We need to be people who walk in the light. If we think we can live in a way that doesn't add up to the word of God, then we're deceived. And we need to be open to hear that from our, you know, we need to be able to tell each other, hang on a minute, what are you going on about? Where's that say that? This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Because I really believe it's an area that the enemy will try and trip us up into. The enemy wants us to be defeated. He wants to separate us and isolate us, like I've already said. We get choices all day. So it's not only deep sin that I'm talking about in deception. I'm not actually talking about deep sin. Sin is sin, isn't it? But it's not only sin I'm talking about. We need to be open for God to show us the things that we believe where we are deceived. Because if you feel you're useless, you're rubbish, you're no good, guess what? You're being deceived. If your thought patterns, if your belief systems don't line up with what God says, there's an element of deception that's going on in your life. If you believe you can never change, you know, whatever it might be, and it doesn't line up with God, what God says, deception is at work. So please be open, be honest, ask God, and be prepared to be radical, to do some warfare to see yourself set free. The illustration of the toothbrush might have sounded silly, but actually it wasn't about the toothbrush, it was about what happened behind it. And I know that my conscience in general is really sharp, and I just encourage all of us, we need to allow God to sharpen our consciences, so that if we mess up, we all mess up, everybody messes up, most of the time. God is grace, God's grace is here, God's mercy, God will never reject anyone. What we want to do is be sharp, so that as soon as we've done something, we can deal with it then and there before it manages to get a hold on us. We need to bring things to God, confess them. Today, if God's talking to you, I'd encourage you to get some prayer later, to talk to somebody. If there's something that you need that it's hidden and you're feeling like, do it. For other people, it may be that you need to go away, you need to find someone to talk with. That's absolutely fine. But there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that's the biggest thing. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But we need to go to war. We can't let the enemy win. He'll rob us. The thing is, God knows anyway. Whatever's going on in our lives, whatever we've done, whatever we're doing, whatever we're struggling is, God knows. He's not fazed by any of it. But for some of us, we have these huge things, and it can be, I can't tell them. Fear of rejection can cause deception. I can't tell them. If I told them what I was thinking, they wouldn't want to know me. They'd kick me out of the church. Fear of rejection is massive. It's also not true. It's a deception in itself. Another one can be pride. Well, I don't want anyone to know what I'm really like. Yeah. Don't be proud. Don't be stubborn. If you let them to rule, then you're deceived, because you can be robbed from the truth. There could be many things that we can explain away, but we need to get radical with this. The call that's going out from heaven right now is, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. We love that song. We jump up and down to that song. It's a song of the moment, and we absolutely, like, wow, when we sing it, we're all frantic with it. But that's the truth. Wake up, child. Sorry, that's just me. But it is a very apt song for us at the moment. And God is saying, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. You can only shine if you're in the light. Let's get in the light. Let's be the light. You have a destiny in God, every single one of us. There was a scroll written in eternity just for you, which is on the inside of you, which is your destiny. But for most of us, we can't even find it. We don't know where it is, because it's all got muddled up and it's got covered over, and life happens and family happens and circumstances happen, and we live out of the natural. And we need to come back to say, actually, I want to live out of the supernatural. I want to live out of what God says about me in heaven, because it's on the inside. And we need to call forth that treasure that's in there. We need to bring that into the light. That needs to be it. That's who you are. That's what God wants for you. Hebrews 12, Mike reads this verse all the time. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's it. That's what we've got. Sin entangles us. Whatever it is, we can shake it off. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. That's brilliant. That means we can get rid of it. That means it doesn't have to lock us up anymore. That means it doesn't have to keep us in prisons or stay in the dark. We can just move it into the light, deal with it, and move on in freedom. Because that's why Spirit of the Lord here, freedom. We can do it together. We need to be transparent. We need to be accountable. We need to be open. We need to be honest. I'm not saying that you need to take the microphone and come up here and confess your sins in front of everybody. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, we function on discipleship relationships in this church. That is, people who love each other. There may be one person that you feel you can trust. Find them. Bring it in the light. Get some prayer. Get this stuff broken off and let's start moving forward. I was looking at the church chat, some of the commitment things. I'm not going to read them all. But the commitment to openness with each other. Now, we're not here, but we're on the way. It says, I promise to seek to become a more open person, disclosing my feelings, my struggles, my joys and my hurts to you as well as I am able. The degree to which I do so implies that I cannot make it without you. This is to affirm your worth to me as a person. In other words, I need you. Ultimately, we need God. God's the one. We don't want to be dependent on people. It's not about being dependent on a person at all. But actually, God's put us here in a church family together to support, to encourage, to nurture, to help each other fulfill the destinies that God's given us. So I just really want to encourage you today. I know Alice has got a couple of things she wants to share, but we're going to pray at the end. And wherever you're at, I'll just encourage you. Just do some business with God. I don't know what Alice is going to share, so. But I know it's good.
I woke up this morning and God said to me, if you get out of bed and listen to me, then I'll show you some things. And to be perfectly frank, I was just like, oh, it's nice and warm in bed. You know, do I wanna go there? But actually, of course I do. And he sort of dropped a carrot by starting to show me a bit while I was in bed, but then sort of said, if you want more, then you need to go downstairs and just write this stuff down. So I'm going to do a bit of reading and a bit of just talking, because it's quite long, but it was really in light of knowing what Deb was going to share this morning, and this is just what God showed me. God gave me a key to unlock things. and I saw myself put it into the middle of somebody, and he said, you will use this key to reveal hidden things. And the key was like a mixing blade, so as I turned the key, it was like it stirred things up, and things were brought to the surface, and things were dislodged from where they'd been caught. God didn't want to do this to expose people or to bring shame, but he wanted things to be revealed to individuals in their own lives, so it's not a public thing. God wants to show you personally these things that are inside of you. It's hidden sin, but it's also hidden mindsets, patterns of behaviour, hurts, wounds, curses spoken against us by others or by ourselves, just hidden dynamics, hidden agendas, unmet needs, emotional black holes, coping mechanisms, habits, addictions, wrong thinking, lies that we are believing, false images of ourselves, objects of worship, unforgiveness, apathy, death. Not death that we've experienced, but death within us, where we have died, where parts of our character, our gifting, our destiny, our purpose, our personality and our authority has died, and we have like areas of death within us. God wants to expose fears, self-rejection, and fear of rejection. The first time I saw this key, I turned it, and it was like these black rocks were exposed and brought to the surface, and it was a lot of negative things that God wanted to reveal. But then I looked again, and I just suddenly was in this place where God's overwhelming love came, and it was like His goodness was like a mist that just enveloped us, because I saw it corporately. And it was full of unconditional love and acceptance and a desire for us to see ourselves as He does. It was full of hope and expectation and anticipation and joy and excitement and longing, and this is what God was bringing to us. And I saw the key turning again, and this time shining bright white stones were coming to the surface. They were hidden, but they were good things. They were people's gifts and destinies. Their character, it was acceptance, it was righteousness, it was right standing with God, it was hope, joy, life, wholeness, mercy. These things that had died or had been lost, it was the identity and the life that God had given us before we were born. And God wants us to have these things revealed in our lives as well. And then I saw this key being turned again, and I saw black stones being revealed, but as they were being revealed, it was like they were a covering on a white stone. It was like we had these things inside of us, these giftings, these good things that God had given us, but they'd actually got buried by deception. They'd become tainted. But as they were exposed, then the black surface cracked off and the white could shine through. And God is saying that this is a time of revealing and unveiling.
Wow. Okay. So we just stand. Stay there. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you want to set us free. We're grateful that you accept us as we are. Your love is unconditional. But you don't want to leave us in the prisons that we're in. You want to see us walk free. And this morning I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just bring light into those hidden areas. Father, I can just see prison doors being opened right now. And I pray that you will bring boldness to walk forward. Those things, Lord, that have been hidden, once brought into the light, Lord, you break the power of them. You can heal and you can restore. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, Father, I just come right now in the name of Jesus and I break the power of deception over us. I declare that we will see truth, that we will see light, that where we have lied or where we have believed lies, become deceived ourselves. Father, today is the day where we start to see the truth. And Father, I call forth those destinies hidden, where we have listened to lies and we have not listened to you. But Father, today will be a day where we start to see truth in a new way. And Father, I come against fear, guilt, condemnation and shame. Father, for those of us who need to do something today in this time, I just pray, Lord, that you will just give us boldness and confidence that you are in control, that you will set the captives free, that where you are, there is freedom. We just pray, Lord God, right now, we just together, we agree to be people who walk in the light, transparent, honest, nothing hidden. Father, we just declare today that we are on this journey with you.